Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of the National Rugby League.
Hey Al, you ready? Let's do it.
Aren't we getting to the pointy end of the NRL?
Oh man, like yeah, this boy, we had some
interesting week.
Some shit very interesting go down this week. Woo baby, did we have some shit go down this week?
We certainly did. So it's round 24, the NRL. Hello everyone. We'll get straight into it. The Thursday game, the Knights, literally. Oh my God, coming out back into the death and winning 15-14.
Look, this game basically it started perfect, really perfect. The Gold Coast were like 12-12, and Newcastle were like 6-6 or 7-7 to start. Yeah. Like both teams really sort of, you know, had come out and they really wanted to win this, and I thought the Gold Coast sort of had some interesting. I guess sort of positional changes and personnel that were in and not in of their lineup. You know, Ash Taylor was, whether you say he was dropped or whether you say he was rested. I personally would say that he was rested because Holbrook had sort of come out and said he's been battling hip injuries and a few other little niggling things, so it sort of sat him down for this game, which was a little bit funny. If he's not 100%, I guess there's no point in playing him, but they kind of needed him.
Like this was a game that, you know, both this one and the next one, I felt they needed to win to sort of stay. They're still there in that top eight or around the top eight, but this is one they needed to win. Both teams needed to win, but
They're for and against is the thing that's counting against them, you know, going into, you know, trying to make the finals for the first time in a couple of years. So that's the thing. They just have to win. Like that, they can't be worrying about, not so much not worrying about for and against, but they just have to win. And, you know, wherever the cards fall, the cards fall.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't overly bad, but he wasn't overly great. Tyrone Peachy in the 5-8.
I mean, it just makes the Gold Coast too one-dimensional.
Yeah.
Like, know that, you know, 80 to 85% of the kicks are coming from Fogarty.
Yeah.
Like, and not to say that Tyrone Peachy doesn't have a good kicking game. He does, but it just makes them uber one-dimensional. And there was bits and pieces where that they didn't really challenge Newcastle's line a whole lot. So I just thought it was funny in that way, the way that they'd sort of game plan for this, I guess.
Yeah, no, I agree as well. I was just thinking how slick that, I mean, he's just a slick player, but how slick that Caleb Ponga's first try.
Oh, that was so easy. Good God, that was so easy.
I know,
easy.
But, well, for him, that's a difference. I mean, maybe there was literally two players on him, so he still had to sort of burrow sort of through. It wasn't the greatest defense, don't get me wrong, but yeah, it was. I mean, he just knows how to read a line well, and then Fifita sort of straight after, and that was just brute strength. That was just brute strength.
Right. And attacking the edges, like, you know, like they have been doing with him for a little while now, and you know, the Fox commentary was sort of ruining, or, you know, coming out and basically saying, what, why are they taking so long for David Fifita to come onto the field? He only came on with 9 minutes left in the first half, and it's just, and you could see that he was a little frustrated, like when he went over, that he was a little frustrated.
But yeah, there was like a deep through sort of the ball down.
Doing. Yeah, that's his own doing.
But then on the flip side, it was a pretty good move, I thought. It was fresh.
Oh, no, absolutely. It's right. That's the way that they're using him
you
at the moment.
You said that last week. You said that's, I mean, obviously for Queensland, definitely. But you said it's not a bad idea doing that, having him come on later. Just again, just because you're on the bench in the first 20 doesn't mean you're not in the top 13 or whatever of that side. I just think
it's like most sports. It's not who you start with. It's who you finish with. Who you close.
Exactly.
With. Who do you trust at the end of the game? That's what I always go off.
I like the impact players. I like that kind of thing, and that's what he is
They're just trying to justify the price of $1.2 million, and he's only playing 49 minutes a game. Blah blah blah. It's like
that's exactly right.
And that's I understand that, but if he doesn't like the hard yards up the middle, that is blatantly obvious.
Yeah.
That he just doesn't like the hard yards up the middle.
And I don't know whether or not he can
groom himself and like a bit of the hard stuff up front, but it just at this point in his career and the way that Justin Holbrook has used him in his first year there, that's just the way that they're trying to use it. Look how devastating it was in the first 10 or 12 rounds.
Yeah, no, you're right. Both the penalty shorter shots, the late tackle Jared Wallace, that was pretty fair.
Oh, man, that was so dumb.
That was fair because I thought it was fair. It was dumb.
So dumb. He'd passed the ball and then you could count 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000, then he gets hit. Like, you've got time to pull out of that. Like, it just didn't need to happen. And you could see the stunned look on his face. Do you know what I mean? As he's looking at the referee and they're taking the penalty shot. And it's just like, no. That is 100% a warranted penalty. And that was stupid. When the game is on the line, it's 12-all. Do you know what I mean? And then that's just a silly play.
That's just on the flip side, another sort of silly play. You know, 5 minutes left, you've got 2 points up. Okay, you do a line dropout, but then a dangerous tackle by Jake Clifford to give them a penalty shot to them. No,
yeah, that's right.
So that was stupid as well.
It was tit for tat.
It was up until Mitchell Pierce's. I mean, I love when a field goal just looks absolutely perfect. I don't know.
Well, they got the only reason they got the decent shot at it was because of the charge down by the Gold Coast.
Correct.
And that gave them another shot. Otherwise they'd wasted their opportunity. But the field goal was charged down. They only took them four tackles and then blammo, straight over it goes, and it was as straight as an arrow. And yeah,
I love how
they were pretty happy to sort of scrape away with this win.
Some people, some of the players, before they go for the one, they're pretty content in going for a two-pointer first. So they both were missed, but Patrick Herbert's 2 points missed, and then Jake Clifford, they don't mind going for that before that one-pointer. It's just interesting.
I guess if you can land it, then that puts the opposition under extreme pressure because they don't. Yeah, then they have to go for a two-pointer. Then, like, if you've got good exponents of the dropout or the drop goal, then that puts you under massive pressure if you're the defending side and it goes over. Well, the Patrick Herbert one was just really weird because it was Patrick Herbert.
Well, that's right, exactly.
It had the legs. It absolutely had the legs.
Maybe he does. You never know. Maybe he slots some sort of. At training, and you never know.
It's cheeky though, because I think nowadays you've got to have somebody like
a
that in your side. Do you know what I mean? Otherwise, it's going to be like pretty obvious that it's either going to be Fogarty or a playmaker. Whereas you have somebody like that that can do it, and you're like, oh, well, that just come out of nowhere.
A bluff player that you wouldn't expect. Yeah, it's not a bad idea. Right. Yeah, I kind of like it. So good for Knights, keeping them sort of in touch around that eight, which obviously they needed to be, much like the Titans. So,
well, that's it now. They're cemented in the eight. So there's only one more spot up for grabs now, and that's eight spot.
And the Titans have got the Warriors this week, so they realistically should win that, but they're now relying on the Sharks and Raiders, and we'll talk about them soon. So
yeah.
Next game I was at, another game in Mackay, Friday night game. It was the Raiders getting over the Warriors 28-16.
Not a bad game. That's what I mean. Not a bad game either.
It was a good. It was a good game to watch. I mean, you, again, two teams you don't get to see every day of the week, and I don't, we don't get to see games here anyway. But just in consideration, when you do see games, for me, it's either going to usually, you know, your Cowboys, your Broncos, your Melbourne. So
no, that's right. Yeah.
That first try, that Warriors first try was Sean O'Sullivan. That was just stupid. No, I wouldn't say stupid, but that was just lazy, lazy defense.
Yeah, straight up.
And he just and he went straight through. Didn't he,
straight up. Like, how can it be that unenthusiastic? You know, 30 seconds into the game.
Instead of seeing Ricky on the sideline, because we were probably, so we were another fairly decent sort of seat. Classic Ricky loves the sideline. We were only probably 20 meters away from man. He blew up in that first bit.
Well, he would have been losing his mind in that first 20, 25 minutes.
The Warriors just came all out. Yeah, they did. They looked slick.
All of a sudden, the wheels fell off.
Yeah, it's usually the other way. Canberra generally, well, they're starting to do it in the last few games, but generally can't fight back and get a win. Or it's either or. Sometimes actually it's the other way where they get a lead and then they can't hold on to it.
Yeah,
so
sure. They choke it away.
They've gone, I guess, the other way with this. That's sort of, again, in the second half, it was, I mean, you got your Charles Nickel Clocksack got his sort of try just before half time.
I thought that was really key for them because they were shell shocked, Canberra, and they looked really poor in attack in that first half, and for them to sort of sneak in 6 points, you know, basically with a couple of minutes to go before half time. Yeah. I think that sort of buoyed them a little bit and just sort of gave them a little bit more confidence as they come out in the second half. And you know, Sebastian Chris basically, it just came straight out and they score within the first couple of minutes off half time. And it's like, righto, it's game on now.
And it was game on. I mean, Rapana's boot sort of helped, but it was sort of game on. They was pretty sort of even then, and then Sebastian Chris is his second try at the 65 minutes, drew it even. And we thought, like, yeah, I mean, up until obviously the 78th minute, like, you could just hear the crowd. This is going to golden point. Like, no one looked like they were going to break through at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally, it didn't look like no one was going to do anything or break through up until Jordan Rapana sort of slick try right and sort of, it ended up, he got it in the corner and then he sort of ran around and then. The last try was just them just dropped their bundle. Dropped the bundle. But Rapana's try was a pretty sort of one out. The Warriors defense, it looked like it slid enough, to be honest. So
no, not really. And look, they had a sort of a bit of a moment of madness as well with, I thought, some really poor game management towards the end, with about 5 or 6 minutes to go. And on the fifth tackle, Bunty Afoa is standing at first receiver.
Yes.
And not so much him standing at first receiver, but he actually gets the ball at first receiver. It's like, oh, my God, like the game is hanging on a balance here, and that's how you set up. Look, Chad Townsend wasn't there towards the end. He done an AC joint, and that's the way it goes. And
But what I'm getting at is
playmakers have got to stand up. Yeah, you know, Sean O'Sullivan, you know what I mean? He's got to stand up. Well, that was in that regard.
That was the point.
Reece Walsh has got to be there.
Yeah, that was the point I was going to make. Chad Townsend, unfortunately, did sort of go off with an ACL. But exactly what you said. This is somewhere, your Reece Walsh definitely is Sean O'Sullivan are supposed to take control of this game. Especially being sort of so close towards the end, potentially having golden
point. No, that's right. They're your playmakers, they're your guys that you trust in that sort of situation. And it was just, it was just a total debacle.
Yeah.
You know, as the end of that sort of come around. And look, Canberra gifted two opportunities to the Warriors to try and get back into this game as well, with Corey Horsburgh having two horrendous mistakes on his return from his couple of game loan at the Bulldogs, and
yeah,
I think he picked up some of their traits along the way. Just coming back, you could see the camera's panning back to Ricky, and it's just like, oh my God, like Ricky is gonna have a coronary on the sideline. When Horsburgh dropped the ball again, you're like, oh no.
These are off both penalties, so they they had the sort of the they had excellent field position, and then Nilly, I mean Reece Walsh, then obviously tried to go for that one pointer and miss, but Ricky, he's interesting to watch. It's not hard to not see him, obviously, but yeah, he knows how to lose his bundle.
He rides home the favorite, that's for sure.
Happy to report that the alcohol situation there was flowing for the whole 80 minutes, not 15 minutes. So that was nearly my start of the week just for that because, yeah.
Did you get me a Jim Beam cooler?
Negative. I lost mine as well. So that's
responsible service of alcohol right there.
That's what happens when you get irresponsible with the alcohol. But anyway, it was a good crowd. We're going to get another game here this Thursday, the Raiders and the Roosters. So unfortunately, and this is not so much a dud, but it's just they're clearly, I mean, looking at the crowds, you know, we get double of what Sunshine Coast and then some of the Suncorp games are getting. We're getting 4,000, 5,000 here. But they do know how to exploit, you know, your regional people because the grandstand seats were $55 each. You're not going to go. So on that one aspect, but then on the flip side, what if you had a family? You want the kids? It's for the kids, These games are for the kids. You know, $200 to go and watch a football game. Come on. There's the whole thing. There could be, you know, I heard someone reckons they blame the young kid that streaked so that, you know, had to put COVID things in it. Oh, there's a whole crap show.
Oh, my God.
I swear, but bloody. The NRL should have at least subsided some of that. You're 30, 35, if you want to pay a bit more than, you know, your Cowboys games or stadiums and all that, 30, 35, okay, but not 55, not even 45. It should nowhere near be near 40.
Not in a regional sort of area like that where there isn't, you know, essentially a local team, do you know what I mean? It's not the Cowboys there. The Cowboys played in Rocky and it was a very, very pro North Queensland crowd there at Brown Park on Saturday, but that's probably a little rich, I think.
Oh, it is. It was ridiculous. I mean, again, you don't get many games here, so
no, of course, and that's exactly what they just say. Yeah, well, you want to go, don't you? Then you'll pay the price.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But I mean, we're not going to the Thursday one this week. I've done a couple and I've seen both teams, so and it's a Thursday, and I'm away anyway.
So that's fair enough.
Next game was, oh my God. I mean, it was billed as like obviously the game of the round, but it turned into a lot. There's a lot of that came out of this game. The Rabbitohs, you know, big winners, 54-12. My God.
Where do you start? Like, you start with Alex Johnston scoring the first try and him getting another.
You start
hat-trick
with the obvious.
You know, yeah, I think that's a really good sort of starting point. And look, you know,
they've had a fine line. That's, you know, that's never changed.
Well, that's right, and down that left edge, which has been like, you know, super lethal for the Rabbitohs. Doesn't matter who's been there, whether it's been Mansour, whether it's been Johnston. Like everybody's, you know, eating at the table down the left hand side for the Rabbitohs. So, you're always going to get some niggle, and that didn't really sort of show itself probably until the second half. I thought both teams sort of kept themselves in check. I thought for the first half, Mark Nichols ended up scoring back to back tries.
Mark Nichols was awesome in this game.
He was, yeah, he was terrific.
Yeah, he topped the run meters too, if I remember correctly. He was brilliant in this game. He was really, really good. Yeah, 245 run meters.
Both passes to him as well were just brilliantly disguised face balls.
Yeah.
For him to just hit the hole, and yeah, that's perfect timing on the run for him, and no, they didn't even see it coming. They didn't even see it coming because he's generally a decoy runner and just bam, straight through the line, and he's two of the easiest tries he'll ever score.
I mean, look, it's not hard to sort of. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that happened in this game. Like you said, the second half obviously was more interesting. I mean, no much more so than the obvious one, and that was, you know, the dangerous tackle by Latrell Mitchell in that 57th sort of minute. Thoughts?
There's a lot to sort of deep dive into. You know, there's stuff that happened through, directly after that. There's stuff that happened after the game. There's all sorts of, you know, there's Mr. Complainy Pants, Trent Robinson having a sook in the press conference. We'll just start with the initial hit, which was pretty bad.
It was pretty bad.
It's late. It's
dangerous.
It's a swinging arm. Like it's got a recipe for disaster. What happened? And look, it's rugby league. We get it. It's a tough sport. You don't go out there to intentionally hurt people. They just don't. You want to put a big hit on someone. You're not going out there to smash somebody into oblivion. You know, even though, yeah, this is the oldest rivalry in the game, but you're not out there to personally maim somebody. You go out there to put on a big shot, you can see he sort of felt a little remorse. And then once the rooster started chirping at him, then it was on. It started to get very, very chippy through the middle.
Oh man, it was. And there was I read just before there was chippiness with him and Wiri Hargreaves even during or after sort of the game when they were walking.
It was after the game. Apparently, Latrell was waiting. Or he was seen in the tunnel, and Rhea Hargreaves apparently gave him an absolute gobful.
He seemed remorseful to me. I don't, as much as he complained, I kind of agree. I think that's send-offable. I mean, 10's 10, but I feel like that's send-offable. There was too much of a swinging arm.
Compared to some of the things that you've seen being send-offable offences, like that is absolutely 100% up there. With,
I think so.
He should have absolutely been sent off. Like,
but then
it's unfortunate. He's been hit with 6 weeks, which he's accepted. So that's his season over.
That's his done. There. Yeah. You knew it was straight after it. Before, even if he didn't accept it, the season was going to be done because he was going to be found guilty.
Part of it is prize as well. Like, don't forget the hit on Norfoluma in round six. Early this year. A little bit of a flying elbow. That people claim that, oh no, he didn't do that on purpose. It's like, yeah, no, 100% did that on purpose.
I mean, but at the end of the day, it didn't really disrupt the team. I mean they didn't have any bearing on the result. And then when he sort of come back on, then they got sort of a couple more sort of slick tries. So it really didn't change the result, like you sort of said, at the end of the day. It got too chippy towards the end there. A couple of sin bins, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Who is that?
And that was a silly situation as well, because in the play the ball, you could hear the referee telling Cody Walker to let go of Sam Walker's jersey. He's holding him down. And yet Dane Gagai feels the need to come in and try and rip Sam Walker off while Cody Walker is still holding him down.
Yeah.
Like, what is he seeing there?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Right. Yeah. Oh, he's not seeing.
And then Tupanua gets involved, and then there's another little fracas in the, you know, in the middle of the field. Ashley Klein sort of did fairly well to keep everything, you know, under wraps and it not get out of hand, and he sent both of them to the bin, and Gagai was clearly, are you effing kidding me? And it's just like, no, I don't know who you're kidding,
Yeah, exactly.
That is absolutely. You both deserve to get binned for that little, yeah, you know, little BS sort of scuffle at the end there. It just didn't need to happen.
At the end of the day, the Roosters played extremely well. I mean, I said this last week, and they unfortunately lost, but this cemented their credentials at the very least. I don't know where they're going to be, but it cemented their credentials. At least to sort of, you know, vie against the top two teams. And it's not just two, is what I'm really getting at.
Yeah, that's right. Look, you know, this is a game that they sort of needed to come back from, you know, a pretty poor performance last week against Penrith. But this rivalry game, so that sort of added that little bit of extra feeling, and I'm sure that Wayne Bennett and, you know, and his troops would have loved, you know, racking up a 50 burger on the Roosters.
Well, I mean, it was a lot of stuff, obviously, from the fallout of the game. I'm talking more of the Roosters here. I mean, not only they dropped out of the top four back to six, but while they were all even, it was their, you know, losing by 40 block to sort of put them in the six. Otherwise, they would have been fifth. Their differentials screwed them a lot in this.
No,
in this
that's
game.
Right.
So they were,
and that, you know, that just shows you how tight it is. You know, 3, 4, 5, 6. Like, you know,
now is 8 points. And your Rabbitohs, that's your top three done and dusted. But your 4, 5, and 6 is your Manly, Eels, and the Roosters. That's how tight it is, literally.
Yeah,
they're all
right.
Really tight.
And it takes one lapse in concentration, and you know, you drop out of, well, they've dropped out of a home final now.
Well, they have.
Not so much a home final, but, you know, a second bite at the cherry.
Well, I mean, they have, because Manly, we'll talk about them soon, but they've got the Cowboys coming up this week, so I think they'll.
Yeah, no, I'm hopeful that they'll rest multiple stars.
Well, maybe one player.
And when I say multiple stars, all they need to do is rest Tom Trbojevic, and that's it.
Maybe if they rest him, and then the Roosters.
He's got a Dally M medal on the line. I don't think they're going to rest him.
No, I don't. Sorry, I don't think they're going to rest him
not. They might rest a couple of other their, you know, sort of fringe guys or guys to sort of freshen them up for the finals. But yeah, Tom Trbojevic has got a Dally M medal to win, so I think that'll be a tough sell, you know, for Desi Hasler to say, oh yeah, we're going to leave you out of this one, because I guarantee you he will be in the Dally M points in this game or in next week's game.
You think it'll come down to this wire, the way he's been playing all year? You think this, I mean, last round, it's hard to say. That's the thing. You don't know, but you think this, and this is why, this is the perfect reason why they put it behind closed doors after rounds. So then the players don't, or the teams don't do something to certain players, and the players play for that sort of, you know, that medal. But yeah.
I think more along the lines of betting implications as well. So, you know, we need to take care of our gambling partners out there. So I think that's
what are we talking about?
I can't find anywhere where there's a market to get on betting on the Dally M. So that's how they're doing it. Yeah, don't worry, I've been looking for weeks.
Next game was your boys. The hell do they come back and win 38-26 against the Dragons? Because they were down. And I thought,
they're always down. What are you talking about?
They've been down all season. Yes, they're always down. But as you know, they hardly ever come back. And if they do come back, it's not enough in time.
They actually left themselves plenty of time to sort of actually get a win in this. Look.
Todd Payton smiled any at all during this. Like, me,
he's got no reason to smile over the. Well, he does over this game, but, you know, as the season as a whole. But to be fair, I thought St. George probably should have been a little more further in front.
Yeah.
Than what they were. Like the Cowboys scored first, and then they seemed to sort of, you know, go into their shell a little bit, and. The Dragons started to get a lot more possession inside the 20, and they capitalized enough to sort of, you know, they ended up being 20-10 up at halftime. But right. I really thought they could have been at one, maybe two more tries to the good, and really sort of put the Cowboys under the pump coming into the second half, and you wouldn't have known it to see it. Like, it was unbelievable the way that it just turned around in the second half.
Yeah, no, it was. And then, you know, that was just on the back of some great work to get Ben Hampton in. And then Tom Dearden, you know, getting in a try in the 47th minute, he was good in this game. I think he is starting to slowly find his feet. You know, he's getting a couple of tries. He's making some line breaks. He's running more.
Yeah, he takes on the line a lot, and sometimes it can be to his detriment. That he sort of gets to the line, and sometimes you can play the ball a little bit too late, and then, you know, you leave your outside options a little bit sort of, you know, hanging out to dry, so to speak. But look, he took on the line a lot. Look, that was just an absolutely just clinical 8 minutes and four tries. It was unbelievable how they just kept tearing the Dragons apart. One try, and then another one, and then another one. You're just like, what in the hell is going on? Like, this is unbelievable. How can they capitulate so quickly after halftime?
I mean, I, for some reason, they kept going away from Ravalawa, which I would have kept going towards Ravalawa.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, until they realized, and then he got his try in the second half, but I would have kept going to him. It seemed to be working in the first half. I mean, he was killing it. He was making line breaks and everything. So
yeah, that's right. I mean, look, he made a really good tackle. He come up with some screamers of tackles. He got beaten on the outside by Ben Hampton, as Hampton sort of made a break towards the end of the first half, and he chased him down. And as Hampton's trying to switch the ball in his hands, he gets hit from behind by Ravalawa, and Hampton drops the ball. Like, you know, the Cowboys could have been, you know, maybe one or two more tries better than what they were in the first half as well. Like, I had a funny feeling there was going to be a lot of points scored in this game, and yeah, it sort of turned out that way.
Yeah, it did turn out that way. It was fairly good again, you know. Regional, you know, the way it is at the moment, it's always good. But another decent sort of crowd at Rocky as well. They were just under 5,000. So
I mean, it's awesome to see, you know, first grade rugby league, first grade NRL quality rugby league in, you know, in these places, Toowoomba, Rocky, Mackay. Like it's awesome. It's great to see, and it's good to see that, you know, rugby league and the NRL capitalizing on. Yeah, you know, on what's happening at the moment.
You got it for the sheer fact is that to capitalize, and you know, because there are, I mean, it's happening sort of here. You can sort of see other footy codes sort of slowly creeping in, trying to get sort of the young kids.
Of course, yeah, that's right, exactly.
It's good. I mean, it looks like it's going to be for the rest of the year in Queensland. I mean, nothing's happening greatly down in New South Wales. So.
Oh my God, there is just a snowball's chance in hell that there is going to be any sort of football in New South Wales, finals wise, grand final. That's just not happening. It's not happening.
I think it's all but confirmed that the grand final is going to be at Suncorp. As far as I was reading,
it's just not happening.
Yeah, it's just not. I mean, it's just not. Unfortunately, which is, you know, well, I've got workmates that are now in their 10th week in home, so they all keep saying they don't look like they're changing. It's just the way it is. Ten weeks in a home. It's just 1,000 cases a day. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's going through the. It's just going from strength to strength down there. It can't be stopped.
I'm laughing because unfortunately it's the right words to use. It's going from strength to strength.
But what does that mean though? Does that mean that people aren't doing the right thing down there, or I don't understand?
As far as I was reading, we're digressing into stuff we don't really know, but it's just for simple people that just aren't. Don't want to follow the rules, and then you only need to give them you can see on a chart, two people can turn into 100 people really quickly.
Yes, right, so exactly. It doesn't take much.
These are the ones. these are the ones, all the, you know, the, you know, the freedom and all that. But god damn, what do you, it's okay, freedom's all good, and I'm all with you for that, but I'd rather live than worry about freedom for just a little bit. Is what I'm really
saying. It only takes one bad apple to spoil the bunch, but there seems to be quite a few bad apples that that are getting around in our largest city in this country. So, and to say that, like, you know, you look at other places that would laugh at, you know, 5 million people, you know, and that's your biggest city, like, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, there's countries out there that, you know, that there's triple that, quadruple that.
The US can have their NFL preseason games packed to the rafters. They're not having all these issues.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I think if Queensland keep having Queensland games, is good. I'm assuming all the final series is just going to literally be at Suncorp. So if you,
they've got to try and shuffle it up a little bit, because I think the surface there is starting to get a little bit chopped up, and you don't want to have a busted field.
Well, see, this
for
is
the grand final.
We'll talk about it later, but this is where your perfect your so-called next NRL side. This is the perfect opportunity for them to sort of showcase all their fields.
Right.
And that.
This is what they should be doing. Ipswich.
Yeah. Exactly.
Take it to those places. Look, there'd be a couple of places on the Gold Coast that you'd be able to play that could house a couple of thousand people.
Of course, again.
Yeah, just take it there. Don't chop up the main fields and you know, have nice pristine grounds for the finals.
Yeah, exactly. Next game was the Sharks keeping their top eight hopes alive with a 24-16 win over the Broncos.
Although Brisbane looked sharp early with the ball, though, like I like the way that they sort of attacked and both teams sort of got on the scoreboard real early in this game, you know, inside the first sort of 6 or 7 minutes to sort of, I don't know, I guess sort of put their intentions out there that, yeah, we're not going to go down lightly. And obviously Cronulla's got a lot more to play for than what Brisbane does. So I thought that Cronulla sort of took advantage of, you know, some of Brisbane's ill discipline again, which has been, you know, a little bit of their problem throughout this season. You know, Thomas Flegler got binned for a bit of a nasty high shot. Like, it wasn't, obviously it was nowhere near what the Latrell Mitchell shot was, but it was, oof, gee, there was plenty of force behind it.
Yeah, no, well, I was about to say it was ill discipline that sort of led the Sharks in. You know, they got a try sort of literally
Jesse Ramian scored pretty much on that set, set straight away.
Ill discipline let them down.
No,
I think
right.
Even they didn't get a try off Brendan Picara's sin bin, but again, ill discipline sort of let them down, so they didn't have that enough sort of attack, I thought. So it just, that is it, that's how I felt with this Broncos game. They just, it wasn't even just ill discipline in the sin bin, just ill discipline in the way they were defending and attacking, to be completely honest.
No, I thought Cronulla did a lot better job sort of hanging onto the ball, like just with ball control and game control, just to sort of keep the Broncos, I guess, you know, at arm's length, to sort of just keep them interested enough that they're not going to drop their bundle. But yeah, with the test, that's the second Tessie New try. It was just like, oh, okay, well, you know, this is definitely game on now. And then, yeah, basically it stayed that way for the rest of the game after that. Like, it was 24-16 for half an hour.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Again, I think it was just our, you know, you talked about Sharks game management. I think it was from, again, our boy Braden Trindle. I think he's probably the real deal. I mean, he got himself a try and he knows how to kick a ball. But the game management helps, especially if you're a young player. Like, that was huge. He took the line on when he needed to. I think he got one line break. Yeah, he controlled the game. It was very,
and they
very
did
good
plenty
to see.
Of play, and Cronulla did plenty of defending their try line in the last 10 minutes as well. Like Brisbane, Brisbane was throwing a fair bit of them at attack, and they just kept repelling away, and I think that'll do Cronulla's confidence the world of good as well you know, sort of going into next week as well, because, you know, there's three teams, you know, the Gold Coast, the Raiders, and the Sharks all vying for one spot in the eight.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Sharks have Melbourne this week. When we'll talk about.
We'll get into that because that game is next. So, what happens now? Can Melbourne afford to rest players now?
Okay, well, let's talk about this game, and then I've been thinking about this. So, they went down against the Eels, you know, broke a 19-game win streak, 22-10, and the Eels played good. I mean, I'm not going to dispute that.
They were physical. They manned up and stood up to Melbourne early, yeah. and it rattled them.
Yeah, it did. It really did. I thought we had the perfect blend of players. We had Jerome Hughes back. We are missing, I mean, I'm not making any excuses. But, you know, missing Finucane and missing Asafa Solomona, or Nelson, I should just say Nelson. But we still had you still had Pappenhausen there, you had Munster there, you had Jerome Hughes there, you had the Bromwich boys there. So there was
plenty of big name players, and you're not going to get any sympathy from me, but it just...
I don't know.
Well, Parramatta's done the double over him now because they beat him in round two. But it just looked like that they had the right game plan there, and you know they were physical enough with them, and Melbourne looked all sorts of frustrated, both attack wise and defensively.
Yeah, no, they did. I mean, none of them.
Melbourne Storm completion rate of under 70% is unheard of.
Yeah, no, it is. It really is. You know, and on the flip side, it was a near perfect 90%. They couldn't handle Isaiah Papali'i. They just couldn't handle him. He was monstrous
That's not saying much for a. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, he's been in and out of form, the start of the season he was brilliant, but he's been up and down. While Parramatta's been in their slump, and you know, to all the Parramatta fans and everything out there, from a Parramatta fan, a North Queensland fan to a Parramatta fan, you're welcome, because the Cowboys absolutely played the Eels into form and just gave them that little bit of confidence, and they're just like, righto, cool, yeah, now we're going up against Melbourne, let's go out there and slap them in the face and they did well.
They did. They really did well. I mean, there wasn't too much of this game that they just did well. They aimed up. That was probably the biggest thing. You and I both sort of seen that they aimed up very, very well.
But they aimed up through the middle and then cooked them on the outside on the edges. That's a good recipe for success. Doesn't matter who you're playing. If you can rumble up the middle and just get the tiniest little bit of compression in that defensive line, and they've got some good strike players out wide, then you'll do awfully well. And this now is you don't want to sort of, you know, jump the gun and go, oh, you know, hey, Parramatta's back. But
no,
it's cool. You can't say that. But you take this game with a grain of salt. That will be ultra confident next week.
Oh, they will be ultra confident next week. I have no doubt in my mind. And that, you know, they still have a sneaky chance of making the top.
That's four. Right. I mean, this was perfect for them because they've been slowly sliding, and now all of a sudden, wham, they're back. Yeah, the Roosters lose, bang, we're back in the top four.
Yeah, it's going to be the other way. Yeah, so. If Manly will have to lose against the Cowboys, and then they'll have to beat the Penrith Panthers. So it's possibly not going to happen. But on the other side for Melbourne, okay, so their for and against is strong. You know, it's 487 over Panthers, 356. They've got the Sharks coming up, and then Penrith have the Parramatta Eels. I think... Honestly, and I'm only sort of taking a little bit off the post-match interview, I I think they'll rest players. I think they will. I think they have to. I mean, listen to Brandon Smith's post-match conference. You know, and the players, they're not a thing. They have an idea of what's going on.
He was calling for yeah, pray for our souls, boys. Like, say he knew that he was going to be stepping into a furnace when they got back into the dressing rooms after that game.
He also said very, very specifically is that, yeah, well, while winning finishing first at the end of the season's good and all that, it doesn't get you the grand final.
Oh, absolutely. Like, absolutely. They've got to put that past them. If Penrith takes the minor premiership, well then good on them. If Melbourne can get up without some stars against Cronulla, then you know that's well done to them as well. You know, obviously there's the for and against. You can't see Penrith sort of being belted by Parramatta. The Rabbitohs are probably, from what I've seen, I've definitely seen that Damian Cook is going to be rested and possibly Adam Reynolds as well.
Well, that makes sense. They're 8 points in front. They can't go anywhere but.
Oh no, that's right. That's right. But they could have been a bit of a sneaky, if things go their way, that they had a chance in a minor premiership. Not a minor premiership, but it is getting out of that number three spot and getting yourself a home final in the first week of the finals.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah, it's possible. I think Melbourne will rest players. I really do. I don't know who. And, you know, the Sharks have got everything to play for in this game.
One person they won't rest is Jerome Hughes because he's just had a couple of weeks off. So I think that's one person that they won't rest.
And they probably won't rest.
I don't think they'll rest Pappenhausen either.
Well, that was exactly who I was going to say because I think he's still trying to find his feet. He played the 480 in this. He's still got Nico Hines there who's going somewhere next year.
Pappenhausen needs some confidence because he came up with two really poor mistakes. At the end of that Parramatta game, it looked like he was just under extreme fatigue. Like that, he was gassed. A lot of the Melbourne players were gassed at the end of that game.
This is what I'm getting at. I think they rest. Yeah, and I probably rest Munster. I think they might have to rest Munster personally.
I think they will. I think Munster will get a week off.
Jerome Hughes, and there you go. There's your Nico Hines, Jerome Hughes, or Nico Hines goes fullback, and then you find another. You know. Harry Graham, Brandon Smith, really doesn't sort of make a difference, I guess, but...
You could probably rest Brandon Smith as well.
He's been brilliant this year. He has been really good, really good. So I think we'll rest players. And again, like the Eels are sort of the same boat. Like they kind of have everything to play for a little bit. I mean, they're not going to fall below the six.
But they
have a sneaky chance of still making the fourth, which will be monumental considering where they were 5 or 6 weeks ago.
No, that's right. Yeah. The wheels on that wagon were absolutely falling off, and a win last week against North Queensland and a really good win this week against Melbourne. Yeah, we'll have them full of confidence.
Next game was Manly. I mean, they're just full of confidence, beating the Bulldogs 36-18. Yes, it's against the Bulldogs on that, but they're just full of confidence. You know, they're coming in, even though they're third, they're coming into fourth. They're coming into very short price favourites, $7 at the moment. Very short price.
I guess. That's
just interesting.
Yeah, I think they could be a genuine. I think they're more of a genuine chance of you know, winning a grand final than what Parramatta are.
But what I'm saying is that they have better odds than what the Rabbitohs do. That's what I'm finding interesting.
Yes, right. Yeah.
Look,
the Rabbitohs, that's. But I think that train might have been derailed now. I think a little bit with. Look, you can't take somebody as classy and an offensive threat like Latrell Mitchell out of that side and pretend to be at your best. And they can, if they win an improbable grand final, then holy moly, good on them. But that's it. To take somebody as classy, you can't replace him. You just can't replace him.
Well, then that's just like the guy that, again, was brilliant. And Tom Dvojevic getting three tries.
Just another hat trick for Dvojevic. Good grief.
Do you rest him? Really? Like, do you rest him? Not thinking of Cowboys. I'm just saying,
in
general.
Yeah, no, that's right. If you're asking me, you absolutely rest him. Okay. If you're asking the host of a podcast like we're doing right now, then no, you don't rest him because, like, okay, I said, he's got a Dally M medal to win.
And
there's no way he's missed enough football this year. You do not rest him.
And the top four
that's
position
right.
is him in. So I don't think any of those players get rested, to be honest, unfortunately. They could all be there and they just do like a massive, this is not great for the Cowboys, but they get this huge sort of big score up and then they start resting in the last 20, 30 minutes or whatever. But
that's enough, but they'll
that's enough.
Yeah, that's enough for that. But no, that could absolutely happen as well. But he can only do it to us through a certain amount of people. You only got four blokes on your bench.
No, that's true. Yeah, that's true. I mean, it just they were slick. I mean, Bulldogs
61% of possession. Like, man, the Bulldogs just could not get their hands on the ball.
No, they wrapped up obviously the wooden spoon. Unfortunately, again, we'll just sort of wait for next year. I will say Kyle Flanagan was pretty good in this game in a losing side. It was okay.
He'll probably get dropped okay. next week.
Yeah, he probably will. The next game was the Panthers, the final game, I should say, beating the Tigers 30-16.
Look, West Tigers come out and were full of energy and were holding their own in the first half.
Against
Penrith, this is the best without Adam Dewey. This is the best they've looked in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, no, they were well in this in the first half. It's just unfortunately, again a try either sort of the side of each half didn't really sort of help. But then, it was Kickout's try that was a kick in the teeth for me at least.
The Pengai Junior try. Straight up the guts and under the sticks, I thought sort of, showed some extreme defensive frailties that have been there, I think, all year for the Tigers. And for him to just bulldoze straight down the middle, nobody could stop him. He's busting out of tackles. He's pushing people off and scores right under the sticks. And you're like, yeah, okay, that's a typical, Tevita Pengai Jr., type run, which is what the Panthers have sort of gone, with their, low risk, high reward type signing of him for the rest of this year.
I think it's such a weird rest of the year signing for a lot of reasons. For not so much the player. I mean, he gets some game. He's going to play for the Bulldogs next year. It's more the team. So for the Bulldogs side, you're risking, a player that you clearly see a future in by going to the Penrith, and they're going to go deep in the finals. So you're risking him getting injured. And then on the flip side for Penrith, is it just for backup? Or
it's clearly for depth. But I think if you want to sort of flip the coin and that's right, but Canterbury, this could be a good thing for Canterbury as well, because if they get a good, confident Tevita Pengai Jr. possibly coming off a premiership to them, then that's good for them as well.
Yeah, and that's possible. That's obviously the other flip side of it. It's just, I guess, when you talk about money and all that, it's just a risk. I mean, at the end of the day,
everything. Where when you have a look at what Canberra did for the Bulldogs a couple of weeks ago, they loaned them Ryan James and Corey Horsburgh. They could have been hurt in those games, and Canberra's got a finals campaign to try and squeeze into the eight, and they need those big boppers.
But this is to me why I like them personally. I think you do. I can't remember if we've talked about this, but I like the idea of the midway have like sort of like what happens in the NBA, have a trade sort of deadline. Where,
yeah, a transfer window.
That'd be perfect.
I like
Yeah, I'd love it. I think it'd be brilliant. I mean, you could sort of, it's like anything. You see players sort of coming in the fringes and then you do some trades. Obviously, it's not going to be for future picks unless they then work out a draft, but that's probably never going to happen in the NRL for a very long
time. I don't think it can work in rugby league. I don't think a draft can sort of do it, but you can certainly do it with players and prospects.
You can do that. You can definitely do that. Yeah, yeah. You know, you can have like a one player and then one brilliant player and then you get two or three sort of fringe players and then, you know, whatever.
Sure, you could get a couple of reserve graders or a young prospect that's up and coming. So
it'd just be interesting. It'd be a good way of doing it. I think it's just, I mean, it'll probably even go worse if it ends up being and getting a 17 sort of side because of you know, the talent sort of diluting a little bit, but I guess
that's right. And I guess if we sort of the talks swirling around expansion that are happening at the moment, and that's exactly what will happen is the talent pool will be diluted a little bit, and you know, and that's a risk that the powers that be in rugby league at the moment are sort of taking a gamble on, really, for expansion. I just don't think the time is right now to do it.
Well, see,
you expand when your game is prospering.
Yeah.
No game right now, post COVID, during COVID, no game is prospering right now. None.
No, that's exactly
so
right.
So why is this expansion talk? I don't get it.
See, and that's the thing. All they've said is that it's whether or not to expand the competition. So it hasn't been that they haven't.
Oh,
come
no,
out.
It's not super official, but I think a decision will be coming down in the next couple of weeks on whether or not that the Ipswich Jets, the Brisbane Firebirds, is it the Firebirds? Oh, sorry, Firehawks, or the Redcliffe Dolphins, might gain that 17th license.
I honestly, I still, from your words and then what I think in my head, I'm still under the belief that they don't do a 17th team, at least not this year. I just don't see it.
It's just such poor timing.
Yeah, you know, and which kind of sucks for all the players that.
Oh, of course it does. It sucks for the game in general that you can't expand, that they want to expand.
I mean, sorry, my thing is it sucks for the guys that have put all the time and effort into, you know, register for these bids.
Yeah, that's right.
So, but...
It's wasted money.
It is, a little bit. Well, we'll sort of skipped over, but we'll go back. We'll do our studs and duds of the week. For me, the stud, if I'm saying... It's honestly, it's just so hard to go past Tom Dvorovic every time I watch him play. I just can't actually believe it.
Ectoplasm everywhere again. Like, what's going on?
I'm fine to do that. I don't really care. I didn't say his name 56 times, but, you know, he knows how to find,
it's amazing that the form he's in and the influence that he has on the team. It's crazy.
Well, and then his brother's clearly, you know, reaping the benefits of it with his contract because because I guarantee that would have been, you know, that's like a two. They both got signed at the same time, but I guarantee if one got signed and the other didn't get signed, that, you know, Tom would second guess himself is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, possibly.
If they said I'm not going to sign Jake or we're not going to sign Jake, I guarantee, you know, all I'm getting is Jake's definitely coming on these coattails very, very well.
Oh, that's right. It's eerily similar to the Stewart brothers.
Exactly right. It's exactly for the same team. It's eerily the same. Who was your stud?
Look, for me, it's the scintillating four tries in 9 minutes by the North Queensland Cowboys. Yeah. Like, it just, that is as good as being a fan and a supporter of that team. That's as good as I've felt, you know, for not so much just to get the win, even if they had a loss, but to just see the joy And it just after just four tries, it was unbelievable. Like it was. That's especially being at Rocky as well. Like you said, you know, but country football is awesome, and you know it's you can't really say that it's smack bang in the middle of Cowboys heartland, but you know it was still a very pro Cowboys crowd there.
Of course it was.
And for them to put on a show straight up like that after, you know, after halftime was awesome to see, and you could just see that's the most fun and happiness that you know those players had had in quite a while.
I agree. I mean, they haven't had a lot to cheer for this year, obviously, but I just found, you know, that some players, and it's easy to sort of pinpoint because he's only been there half the year. He was starting to find their feet in that side very, very late, and that's Tom Dearden. I mean, it'd be interesting to see what happens next year with Chad Townsend going there. Very interesting, although this injury is not going to help. But
no, see, and that's the thing, that's that AC joint injury to Chad Townsend has basically ruled him out for the final game against the Gold Coast. So, which kind of sucks, but you know, just me personally looking forward, you know, just get him to rest up and come to Townsville, yeah, nice and refreshed and ready for a, you know, a three-way halves battle.
Yeah, take the time to move here. That's what I would do. So
yeah.
Dud of the week. I mean, mine. You mentioned his name before, but you know, Mr. Cranky Pants, Trent Robinson. Just, you know, it was. And didn't he get fined? I think you got the amount there. Didn't he get fined for it? Just.
He's been slapped with $20,000.
Well, it was obvious.
Oh, he just tore strips off the bunker and the referees. Just whinge, as Chopper would say. But man, it was just he wouldn't stop. He was just on a tirade.
Which we all know you can't do that as a coach. You know, yes, I agree with him. For the first bit where I thought he should have got sent off, but to keep going and going and going on it, you know, and that's why he got fined, you know, for that amount, because he just unloaded, literally.
Yeah, literally, yeah, literally.
It always interests me, like, what if they won and the same thing happened? Would he unload then? You know what I mean?
Like, he hasn't been sort of, you know, shy in, you know, in press conferences in basically saying that, you know, it's the world versus the Roosters. So that's always been, yeah, that's always been his MO. So, yeah, well, let's not kid ourselves here. But, yeah, he's looking out for numero uno, and that's the tricolours.
Yeah, which I mean, as a coach, you got to. We've said it all year. Like out of all the teams, they've been so decimated with injuries. So.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, so decimated with injuries, these guys. Your dud of the week?
For me, it was just the Roosters in general. I thought they lacked a lot of toughness in this game. Just to lay an egg. You know, no pun intended, even though Roosters don't lay eggs. But playing the way that they have been, being competitive, still sitting in the top, they've been in the top four for forever, and all of a sudden they had this one little slip up, and then boom, down to six they go. And I just thought that they whether or not it's the weight of the world and the weight of the injury toll has it finally hit the Roosters now that this is who they are. Like they're losing class players all over the place. Now Josh Morris has come out and says he's retiring. So both Morris boys are gone. Joey Manu's gone out of this team again now. So they're going to have a makeshift back line, you know, next week against the Raiders. Like that's prime. That's prime for a boil over there for Canberra.
I mean, and personally, I've picked the Raiders. I think it's just.
I'll be interested to see who the Roosters name in their 17 next week, because it'll be It'll be, yeah. There's,
they're favourites at the moment, but I think Raiders can definitely do a boil over. I mean, the game's here in Mackay this Thursday night, so by the looks of it, if this rain keeps going on, that's currently going and hasn't stopped for a good hour and a half now, that'll make the game even more interesting, which would be cool. I mean, I won't be there, but I'll be in a place that we both know well called Ellie Beach. So for work, it is working. I should
for inverted commas work purposes.
Work up until the you clock off.
Yeah, that's right. That's go time.
So that game, that's the first Thursday game. That's the Thursday game. That game has huge implications. So
hopefully big time.
Big crowd sort of gets out there for that game. So I think that was sort of where we finished. We sort of covered even, I guess, again, finals implications sort of during that. I mean, the rest of it was all, it was really those sort of, four to six in terms of the top four, in the top four position, and then your seven to sneaky 10 for the Titans.
Yeah, this is still as of next week, there's still a little bit of jostling to go on, in that sort of four to six range, and then it's a genuine. I think it's a genuine. Competition between the Sharks and the Raiders. I don't think that the Gold Coast, especially they had to win. If they had a won this week against Newcastle, then you could put them squarely in the mix. But them being the 2 points behind, the Raiders at the moment have got a poor for and against. But if the Raiders win, then they've basically got to wait on what the Sharks do against Melbourne and what sort of side Melbourne trundles out there.
Yeah. I mean, if we're realistically looking at it, I feel, and just because I think it'll be a boil over, I feel like the Raiders could, to me, get that eighth position. You're right. The Sharks are all dependent on what side Melbourne puts out there. But Melbourne won't then on the flip side, Melbourne won't like losing twice coming into a final series either. So that's the other thing.
No, I think they're going to be having a very tough week at training this week on the Sunshine Coast.
I guarantee they're having. And then see, the Titans have a better for and against than the Raiders. And then they've got the Warriors. Right. So the Titans are definitely,
if the Gold Coast could go out there and blow the Warriors off the park and beat them by 20 to 26 or 30 points, then Cronulla lose and the Raiders.
Well, all the Titans need to do is probably win by 20, and then the Cronulla will lose. Then that's what's at 40. They'll be bending back to say 27, and then Sharks. That's if right. Sharks lose, Sharks. Even if they lose by 10 or 20, then the Titans are in. The Raiders will be the sneaky one.
That's where it hinges on what the Raiders do against the Roosters.
Whatever happens in that Thursday night game, that will be it. It's
not so much ironic, but that's the game that opens the round. So it's going to be out there for everyone to see for the rest of the weekend for them to sort of game plan on what they do for the games going forward over the weekend. So good luck to both of those teams in Mackay.
Could be
a bit of a mud bath there on Thursday.
It's only Monday, so hopefully it's sort of the field was perfect on Friday night. Man, it was pristine. They did it very, and they've moved all the because that's where all the semifinal/grand final this week coming is generally there. But they've moved them all to the junior rugby league ground. So
fair enough.
I don't think more for this. I think it was also more for that. The junior club, well, the local clubs were obviously whinging about having to wear a mask in there. So. Going in and out and all that, which you kind of get because if you've got three grades instead of one game, you've got three, your 19s, your reserve, your A grades, going in and out all the time. It's a bit of a schmozzle. So they've moved to there. So junior league grounds, you don't have to do it because it's not Castle Stadium, which is, interesting.
Yeah, that's strange, isn't it?
Considering they're like, what, 500 meters from apart, and then one area you have to and one you don't. But anyway, it is what it is. That's it. Covered everything. One more big round.
Final round of the regular season next week, and then it's the business end of the season.
Mad Monday for the Cowboys and a few others, obviously.
Yeah, no, there'd be plenty of Mad Mondays happening in Queensland, and I'm not sure. See, that's the thing. I'm not sure what actually happens to those teams that won't be participating in the finals. Do they have to go if they go back home, back to Sydney? Have they got a quarantine? They've been in a bubble.
I don't know. Like,
I don't know what old Gladys expects.
Gladys, I don't know. But we'll have to wait and see. I don't know. It'll be very interesting. That'll do for this NRL pod. As always, socials, Twitter @FinalPlayPod, Facebook's Final Play Podcast, where you'll get all our links, as well as always and forever grateful, eureka.com.au, gimco.com.au. It's Eureka Cards, which is, I prefer just to type Eureka in because I just find that easier. Anyway, but that's me.
Yeah, it's it. You type in Eureka, it's pretty quick.
It comes straight up. It's literally the first thing. It doesn't matter what happens in anything. That's the best Google name because Eureka could mean a few other things, but that is the first thing that comes up. And I've cleared my cookies, so you can see, get it straight away. Yeah.
Brilliant.
It is brilliant. I already know what I'm signing off as. I'm signing off as Jason Cranky Pants Smith because I couldn't get past that the whole time. That's why it was my dad and then Cranky Pants, mate. So, total sense. Oh,
Mr. Complainy Pants, like, just unbelievable. Just, yeah. Anyway, I guess the sign off for this week will be Miles Ectoplasm Plum. And if you've got the opportunity, unlike Jason, let's get out to the footy, and I'll be doing the best to try and get out to the Cowboys and watch them run around for the final time on Saturday Ave. So that'll be there,
I'm assuming.
Yeah, we've got a few things on the horizon, but Saturday will be a good distraction. So
no, sorry, I'm saying you're hoping Tom's not going to be there.
Oh yeah, no, hopefully he doesn't make the trip.
That's what I'm saying. Hope Tom's not going to be there.
Hopefully he doesn't make the trip up. They don't want to risk him getting deep vein thrombosis or something on the plane. So they should just leave him down in the southeast.
Yeah, we both know that's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen.
Have a good week, everyone.
See ya.